All right. Chapter 4. It's a long chapter. I'm going to try and impress everybody to do a whole chapter tonight.
Oh, come on. That's not the life of sin.
Yeah.
Where's that swirl?
Well, that's a big chapter, too.
I mean, no, let me see the back of that. Are you sure? Hey, that's pretty cool.
My buddy Mike got me this shirt. That's right.
Good taste, Mike.
So you might actually do 4 verses?
You know what? What is with this crowd tonight? Here I am trying to be all reverent. I even got cleaned up, and all I'm getting is hacked on.
They are rough.
Spring is in the air.
What's that?
Mother doesn't recognize you as your daughter.
I know. Well, I wouldn't have changed, but I might have sat in a big pile of grease out at the shop. Actually, I didn't sit in it. The guy greased my truck, smeared it all over my front tire, and then I found a loose nut on my air-to-air, and so I had to tighten that up, and when I scooched in there, ruh-roh. Nope, they're already in the washer.
Really?
Yep.
I thought you were going to try to lose that line of service.
They've been trying to tighten that up for a long time.
Oh, you don't have to worry about your rear end bearing.
Listen. I'm trying to conduct a Bible study here. Well, Father, we are grateful, Lord, for your word, for this study in your word, and Lord, it has been impactful, and Lord, it has been challenging, and it has been awesome, which your word always is. But Lord, as we wrap this up tonight, Lord, or try to, would you just use this word to bless your people tonight? I pray for our offering that you would bring the increase, Lord, that as your people, are faithful in giving, Lord, you will be so faithful. You're already faithful, Lord, but you will bless your people. Your word says so. And so we just are grateful for that tonight. Ask you to just be with each one of us. And I just thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, if you remember last week when we got started, we were looking at 4 different groups of people and what they said and what they did. And touch Tammy's jaw. Not all right, because you keep doing this. So, the ones that we actually looked at last week was the complainers. Hello, there was the complainers. None of us in here fit that mode.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus. The first was the complainers, and then there was the believers. And we better all fit into that groove. Amen?
Amen.
The believers.
Amen.
So tonight, I want to close out this study by looking at the last 2, if that's possible. There's only 2 other groups of people that we want to look at. And I mean, it just stands to reason I covered 2 last week. I ought to be able to cover 2 tonight. But it remains to be seen. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4, in the first 3 verses. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, All who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. That will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. Glory to Jesus. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Wow! I don't know about the rest of you, but that is pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Those who fear my name, verse 2, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Glory to God. Oh my. You know what I'm going to like the most, I think, about heaven? No poison oak.
Amen to that.
I hate that stuff. I haul logs. I haven't even been off the road in I don't know how long. I haven't done anything, yet I have poison oak. Is that the craziest thing? I get it off my wrappers.
I can roll and not get it.
You know what? Here you see work. Great. I'm not. Apparently all I have to do is look at it. The group of people that we're looking at here in this passage are the evildoers. The evildoers. So we got the complainers, we got the believers, and now we're looking at the evildoers. And once again, Malachi returns to the theme of the coming day of the Lord when God will punish all evildoers. The reality is sinners will be burned up the way fire eats up stubble. They will become like ashes under the feet of the saints. Now listen, I want you to understand tonight that God does not get any glory. He doesn't get any delight. He doesn't get anything but sadness out of that picture. Because we have to remember that the Bible says that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We've got to remember that hell was never intended for God's people. Well, let me expand that. Hell was never intended for God's creation of people. It was created for the devil and those that third of the angels that sided with him, in his rebellion. That's what hell was for, not God's people, not his prized possession. The reality is this. True believers will see the dawning of a new day as the Son of Righteousness rises. See, Jesus will then reign as the King of Kings, and his people will frolic like calves let out of their stalls. I don't know if you've been driving around or anything, but it's a pretty sure sign that spring's pretty close because all the fields are full of new lambs, and you know how I feel about them. But the reality is they're pretty cute when they're out there just running around and jumping, and like today the sun has warmed them and it felt good on their bodies and those kinds of things, and new calves are being born and I mean, if you've ever seen an animal, a horse or a calf or whatever, let out of a stall that they've been locked up in for a period of time, they get pretty happy about getting let out.
Okay. On the Son of Righteousness, is that correct? It's supposed to be S-O-N or as in the plan of the Son?
Both.
Okay.
Because he is the Son. In heaven, there won't be any need of the S-U-N sun or the moon. We'll get to that in a little bit. But he is both.
Okay?
So, true believers will see the dawning. And Jesus, when we'll reign as the King of Kings, and again, his people will frolic like calves let out of their stall. And in the day of the Lord, God's wrath toward the wicked will burn like a furnace. But he will also will be like the healing warmth of the sun to those who love and obey him. Amen? I mean, there's nothing like standing out in the sunlight after we've had a long, cold, dark, dreary winter, and it feels pretty good to just have some sunlight beaming down on us. John the Baptist prophesied that with the coming of Jesus, the dawn was about to break with light for those in sin's darkness. Luke chapter 1, verse 76 says, 78 and 79 says this, "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercies of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace." Isn't that interesting? See, in Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 20, and then also in Revelation chapter 21, 23, and 24, we see that no light will be needed in God's holy city, because God Himself will be the light. Listen to Isaiah 60 and verse 20. "Your sun, S-U-N, shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended." Mourning, not M-O-R, but M-O-U-R. Then in Revelation 21, 23, and 24, it says this, "The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is the light, or is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it." Now, in our realm, when we go outside and the sun's shining, what is one of the first things that we notice about the sun shining, other than it's warm and it's light?
How dirty your pickup is.
I think
it picks our spirit up.
It does pick our spirit up, but there's shadows. In heaven, there won't be any shadows. Isn't that going to be amazing? No shadows.
No matter how big they
are? No matter how big you are. Because His light's going to be everywhere. So, these last verses of the Old Testament are filled with hope. Regardless of how life looks now, and for some, it looks better than others. But regardless of how life looks now, God controls the future. And the reality is everything will be made right.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Yeah. Everything is going to be made right. And we who have loved and served God look forward to a joyful celebration. This hope for the future becomes ours when we trust God with our lives. Aren't you glad His mercies are new every morning? Buddy, I'm really glad about that. I'm really glad about that. I'm glad that even though I mess things up from time to time, that I'm saved by grace. And I, as we strive to be right and to do right, we still have a very real enemy that is going to do everything he can to knock us off center, to knock us off kilter, to get us to go the other direction. But I'm grateful tonight that we have a God that has given us the Holy Spirit to guide us and to direct us and to correct us and to lead us and to guide us into all truth. Amen? Yeah. Glory to Jesus for that. Pardon me? She said we just have to listen to Him. She's always right. Hey, enough. I could go home with her in a little bit. And I wash greasy clothes in her washing machine.
You're not happy about it.
Well, it's going to be all right. I don't know how it's going to be all right, but it's going to be all right. Listen, the hope for the future becomes ours when we trust God with our life. I want to look and spend the rest of our time tonight looking at this fourth group. And when I tell you what the fourth group is, it ain't about me. I'm just going to say that right up front. It ain't about me. Because He said, ye. Right? What about ye? What? But what about it? But what about ye? There's something before ye.
Oh.
Don't say it.
It's hard to understand your question.
Tai? Tai? That's a corner. Man, he is rough.
I'm not going to get it because you're not saying it right.
Well, how should I say it without just giving it away? I'm trying to make them think.
Oh, okay. Well, finish it.
Yeah, maybe we should have brought our Bible.
It ain't more than just ye.
Why do we have to do all the work?
What about ye?
Ye what?
No, it's not ye what. It's what ye.
No.
Yes.
No,
I'm just going to tell you.
How many ye's are there in the Bible?
Is it if?
It's go.
Go,
ye. And ye be ye. This fourth group of people here that I want to look at that Malachi is talking about in verses 4, 5, and 6 are the preachers. The preachers. Verse 4, 5, and 6 says this, "Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. That's the end of the chapter. That is an odd way. He never even said, thus whatever. It just stops.
I'm amazed you did 5 verses.
Well, we ain't done yet. I just read them. We got to talk about them now. And I got 30 minutes. Malachi, one thing about Malachi is this. He has been faithful as God's messenger. If you remember back in chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, some of the things that he had to say to God's people was tough. Right? I mean, it was just hard. Malachi has been faithful as God's messenger, and he closes his book by reminding the people of two other faithful prophets, namely Moses and Elijah. The law of Moses was still God's rule of life for the Jews, and if they obeyed, God would bless them. But of course, believers today aren't under the law, according to Romans 6 and 15, Galatians 5 and the first 4 verses, but we still practice the righteousness of the law through the power of the indwelling Spirit of God. Listen to Romans 8. The first 4 verses. Listen to this. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now listen, I don't know how many of you go on walks. But I can tell you this. It is hard to not walk in the flesh. I mean, in the world we live in, with all the mess that's going on, it's pretty easy to get in the flesh. Somebody cut you off in traffic? Bam, you're in the flesh, right? I mean, there's just all kinds of examples. But we're called by God to not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. In Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5, there's a promise, and this promise was often discussed and debated by the Jewish rabbis who asked this question, who is the Elijah whom the Lord will send? That was a question. And the Jewish leaders interrogated John the Baptist about it in John chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. And Peter and James and John asked Jesus about it over in Matthew 17 and 10. The prophet Elijah is mentioned at least 30 times in the New Testament, and 10 of those references relate him to John the Baptist. Going to get interesting here in a minute. John the Baptist said plainly that he was no Elijah. John chapter 1, verse 21, and also verse 21. John the Baptist plainly said that he was no Elijah. But he did come in the spirit and power of Elijah, and he did turn the hearts of fathers and children. You can read that in Luke chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. There's a lot of scripture here that I didn't put down just because there's just too much stuff here. And I couldn't get to all of it. So that's why I'm telling you, note takers, write it down and you can look at it later. So like Elijah, John was a courageous man. He was a man of prayer, empowered by the Spirit. He was a man who lived alone in the wilderness. And he was a servant who turned many people back to the Lord. But he was not Elijah returned to earth. However, however, all right. For those who believed on Christ during His earthly ministry, John the Baptist performed the work of Elijah in their lives. He prepared them to meet the Lord. In Matthew 11 and verse 14, it says, "And if you are willing to accept it, He is the Elijah who was to come." Isn't that amazing? Hold on. So, Elijah is come already, Jesus said, and they know Him not. The disciples understood Jesus to mean John the Baptist, who came in the Spirit and in the power, according to Matthew 17, 10 through 13. Listen to this. That very passage of Scripture. And the disciples asked Him, saying, "Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Indeed, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. But I say to you that Elijah has come already, and they did not know him, but did to him whatever they wished. Likewise, the Son of Man is also about to suffer at their hands." Then the disciples understood that He spoke to them of John the Baptist. Huh. So Malachi 4 and 5 promises that Elijah himself will come, and that his coming is related to the day of the Lord that will burn the wicked like stubble, which we read in verse 1 of chapter 4. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 17 and 11, "Elijah truly shall come first and restore all things." There's in all this study, there's students believe that Elijah is one of the two witnesses whose ministries are described in Revelations chapter 11, verses 3 through 12. They believe that Moses is the other one. Are you still with me? It's worth noting also that both Moses and Elijah appear with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17 and 3. Which explains why the three apostles ask about Elijah. So, inasmuch as the great and terrible day of the Lord didn't occur in New Testament times, we have to believe that John the Baptist was not the promised Elijah, even though he ministered like Elijah. So this prophecy is yet to be fulfilled. It's still on the horizon out there. It may well be that Elijah will return to earth as one of the two witnesses that's talked about in Revelation 11, verses 3 through 12, because the signs that these two men will perform remind us of the miracles of Elijah. He was a miracle-working guy. But we have to remember that it was just God working through him. So after the ministry of the witnesses, the Lord will pour out His wrath on the earth, according to verse 18, and then over in chapter 16, verse 1 of Revelation, the day of the Lord will burst upon the world in its fury. That's why, church, it is important. If this stuff scares you and makes you uneasy, rest assured, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's not a problem. That's why it's important, and that's why every Sunday morning I close our service with an opportunity to get somebody saved, because that's the only way that people are going to miss this day. There, you know, I've had discussions, Tammy and I have been confronted with different ones at different times about why do you only preach, why do you always preach about salvation? Well, because salvation is the number one thing in my mind. There's no greater miracle than to see some lost sinner get right. I mean, look at what happened here this Sunday, at Sunday morning. Look at what happened the Sunday before that. Lives being transformed, young and old alike. And that's the heart of what I believe God's called me to do. There's a lot of guys out there that are pastors that are very, very theological and you know, they're kind of scholarly and all those kinds of things. And I'm not that person. I'm just not. I can't get in some theological debate with you and discuss with you about all these kinds of things. My heart gets excited when somebody asks me about John 3:16. So, I don't know where I'm at. Oh, the day of the Lord will burst upon the world in its fury. Wow. I cannot fathom what that day is going to be like. But the good news is, I don't have to go through it. I'm not going through it. Pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib, I don't care. I'm going out on the first load. Amen? Amen? Woo! What I'm talking about. You can call it whatever you want, Jack, but I'm on the first bus. I'm out of here. Glory to God. Let's see. So, with Malachi's death, listen to this. With Malachi's death, the voice of God's prophets would be silent for 400 years. Now, you want to talk about a dry spell?
Do you know how he died?
I don't. 400 years. Wow. And we get a little edgy when we feel like we're in a desert place for a week or two or a month. 400 years, 4 centuries go by without a word from God's prophet. Then this prophet would come like Elijah to herald the message of the Messiah's coming in Matthew 17 verses 10 through 13 and Luke chapter 1 and verse 17. This prophet was John the Baptist. John prepared people's heart for Jesus by urging them to repent of their sins. Christ's coming would bring not only unity and peace, but also judgment on those who refuse to turn from their sins. See, it seems odd that the Old Testament scripture would end with the word curse. Doesn't that seem odd? When we get near the end of the New Testament, we read in Revelation 22 and verse 3, "And there shall be no more curse." You know why? Because we're going to be in heaven. glory to God. Remember in Malachi chapter 3, in like verse 10, if memory serves me, when he said, if you rob God, you're what? You're what? You're cursed with a curse. Yeah. And you know, people wonder how that is. Well, because we're outside of God's will. I thought what happened Sunday morning, by the way, was profound. With that wedding.
Amen.
Was that awesome?
Yeah.
Right. But you know what that says to me? It says to me that it's getting in some people's heads. They're starting to understand that I can't live together with somebody and expect to have the blessings of God on my life, because it's absolutely contrary to what God's Word says. Which is what Malachi was talking about in through these chapters. Will you rob God? Well, in what way have we robbed God? I mean, you can just see the people. They're like, what in the world? I mean, we're shacked up living together and you know, we're paying our tithe and we're doing all these things and we just don't feel like God's blessing. Well, hello. Tammy and I, when we was in Utah, I don't know how many folks, different people would come and they would be, people were living together and all these kinds of things and they would want to get married. And I said, well, here, listen, here's the deal. You can't expect God's blessing on your life or on your marriage if you're living in sin every day of your... Well, how about if we just sleep in separate beds? It doesn't matter. The Scripture says to flee the very appearance of evil. And so you know what we did? We went the nth degree. We said, one of y'all needs to move in our house. I don't know how many people did we have that moved in? Three or four different folks moved into our house. Thank the Lord we had a great big house. And they stayed separated that way until they got married. I just think that's right.
You have to get married to get a room in your house?
Would somebody just whack him? Revelations, when we get near the end of it, it says, and there shall be no more curse. All of creation is eagerly awaiting the return of the Savior, expecting Him to deliver creation from the bondages of sin. Can you even get an inkling of what heaven's going to be like with absolutely the absence of sin? You remember that when I talked about running and frolicking like a calf just let out of a stall? I mean, you want to talk about jumping from cloud to cloud? There ain't even going to be clouds, but just for humor me for a minute, all right? I mean, we're going to... I don't know about you, but for me to be in the absolute absence of sin, I'm going to be like... Here, I'll date myself. How many of you remember Touche Turtle and Ricochet Rabbit? Ping, 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 Ricochet Rabbit. And that dude was all over the place. Am I really?
That was before my time.
Well, I know it was. It was not before your time. Touche Turtle and Ricochet Rabbit. Touche Turtle sword fought all the time. And Ricochet Rabbit was just everywhere. And I'm going to be like Ricochet Rabbit when I hit heaven. I'm going to be... Ha! I don't know where that came from, but he's going to deliver us. He's going to deliver creation from the bondage of sin. Can I just share this with you? How many of you realize this? We have been set free from the bondage of sin right now. The problem is, what I talked about early on, we get caught up walking in the flesh and not walking after the Spirit. And so, amen? We should be expecting Him, and while we're watching, we need to be witnessing, witnesses of Him to others. Listen, when the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness, which is Jesus, arises, it will mean either burning or blessing. It's going to mean one of two things, burning or blessing. That's why when I'm doing an altar call, I say, listen, you can't say, well, I'm not going to choose today. Because by not choosing, you choose. There's this thing within us, and you techies will understand what the default setting is. And when we refuse to accept by choice Jesus Christ, by default, we choose the enemy. For when the Son of Righteousness arises, it will mean either burning or blessing. Blessing to those who have trusted Him, burning to those who have rejected Him. Nobody can afford to argue with God the way the Israelites did when they heard Malachi, because God will always have the last word. Always. For you, will the last word be salvation or judgment? Malachi gives practical guidelines about commitment to God. The reality is this: God deserves the very best that we have to offer. We have to be willing to change our wrong ways of living. He talked about that in chapter 2, at verse 1 and 2. If you remember back in chapter 1, verse 7 through 10, that's where I got this, God deserves the very best that we have to offer. He doesn't deserve what we have left over. As much as I like leftovers, and I really do like leftovers, God deserves the very best, the first. We need to make our family a lifelong priority. Chapter 2, verse 13 through 16 talked about that. We need to make our family a lifelong priority. And then we should be sensitive to God's refining process in our life, according to chapter 3 and verse 3. Listen, when the heat gets turned up underneath of us, it's not just to see how much heat we can handle. It's because he's taking us through that refining process so that the junk in our life floats to the surface and He can scrape it off and look down inside of us and see His reflection in the shine. We should be sensitive to God's refining process in our life. Here's one. We should tithe our income, according to chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. We should tithe our income. How about this? There's no room for pride. Chapter 3, verse 13 through 15. There's no room for pride. Malachi closes his message by pointing to that great and final day of judgment. For those who are committed to God, judgment day will be a day of joy, because it will usher us into eternity in God's presence. Those Listen, if nothing else motivates you to share the love of Jesus with somebody, to compel someone to come to the Lord and to know Him as Lord and Savior, those who have ignored God will be straw to be burned up. To help the people prepare for the day of judgment, God would send a prophet like Elijah, John the Baptist, who would prepare the way for Jesus as the Messiah. The New Testament begins with this prophet calling the people to turn from their sins and to turn to God. This kind of a commitment to God demands great sacrifice on our part. But I promise you, we can be sure that it will be worth it all in the end. It will be worth it all in the end. To hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter in to my rest." Wow! That's going to be a good day. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? How many of you know just some really good people that don't know Jesus? I mean just some really good people. They would give you the shirt off their back. They would they bless. You know, they're just fine people, but they just don't have Jesus. And to hear from the mouth of the Lord, "Depart from me, I never knew you." That's a bad day. That's a bad day. I've done all these good things. It ain't about what you've done. It's about what He did. And if we refuse in our stubbornness to accept and receive the finished work of the cross of Calvary. Jesus said it. "I'm the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father." No one. No matter how good we are. Your name is not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're in big trouble. We're in big trouble.
You can't buy your way into heaven.
You cannot buy your way into heaven. You cannot work your way into heaven. You can't be good enough to get into heaven. I think we're going to be surprised, church, when we get to heaven at two things. Number one, who is there? And number two, who's not there? I think it'll be a shock. Father God, You are so awesome. You are so amazing. Your Word is so powerful. God, I pray that some way, somehow, You would endue us, Your people, with Your Holy Spirit like never before. That we would get the burden of this last day. That we would come to the realization that if I don't tell my friend, my loved one, my family, my neighbor, if I don't tell them about Jesus, there's a real possibility that they might end up in hell, and it's because I didn't do something about it. I'm thinking of my neighbors right now. God, give me the strength and the courage to share Jesus with them, Lord. Give us the unction. Compel us. Stir us, Lord. Help us to see our city the way You see our city. Help them, help us to see Myrtle Creek, Oregon, Tri-City, Riddle, Canyonville, Days Creek, the surrounding areas. God, give us a burden for the lost. Give us, help us to see this place the way you see it, Jesus. God, we'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory and the honor for all these things. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. This Bible study is on our website. It's on our Facebook page. It's on YouTube. Go back. Go back. I listen to them. I'm the preacher. But I go back and listen to myself for a couple of reasons.
Isn't that a pride issue? I thought you were supposed to
listen. No, it's not. Nope, it's not. Because I've heard myself say some things, and I'm like, huh. I need to hear them fresh again for the first time. Again, I need to hear myself. I was thinking just the other day, driving down the road.
In fact, I was coming down off the Callahan with a load.
And I was talking to the Lord because it's, I mean, you can see out over the entire Umpqua Valley from up there. I mean, you want to talk about high and lifted up. That place is high and lifted up. And I said, Lord, why do we battle? Why do we struggle? Why do we fight with all of these thoughts in our minds? You know what he said? Because you don't wash it with the Word. At which point I wanted to just drive off the cliff.
That was an ouch.
I mean, how stupid was I? How simple is that? We renew our minds by what? The washing of the Word of God. That's exactly what he said. We renew our mind. Shane, you renew your mind by the washing of the Word of God.
It is written.
Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you for clearing that little mystery up. Right? Does he speak to you like that? He don't speak to me much, but when he does, it's like that. Okay, I got it. Wow. We would do ourselves a huge favor if we would just spend time in God's Word. If we would just read God's Word, it might just shock us how much easier it is for us, like I was talking about earlier, to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God, if we just would spend time in His Word. God help us. God help us. Amen? Listen, I appreciate y'all coming and listening and putting up with my ramblings and stuff, and I really do pray. I really do pray that you glean something from these Bible studies that we've been going through. My job, our job as pastors, is to equip you for the work of ministry. Is to get the Word of God in you so you can take it outside and do something with it for the kingdom of God. Amen? God bless you guys. God go with you. Have a great day. Great rest of the week.